every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, second Saturday of the month, and we've got ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower of Save a Tree shimmying down right now, finishing a few little prune cuts as our temperatures are changing. We've got some very limited time of pruning. We'll get into that. But he's always got a tree of the month that he starts off with, and we've got one. Is this Arizona native tree this time?
It is. It's called a Platanus wrightii. Common name is the sycamore. And you know, it's an unusual tree, actually. Pretty rare. And I don't see why it's not planted more often around here, because it grows pretty well from northern Mexico. Actually, it reaches down into, you know, pretty deep beyond Sonora, down into Sinaloa. It goes as high as the Mogollon Rim. I included it in my Trees of the Month this year because I love that tree. I have known it since I was a little kid. Parents bought a cabin back in about 1960 in Pine, Arizona, right on Pine Creek. Some of my best memories as a kid was fishing in that creek. And right along that creek are these big, majestic, white-barked trees that were, you know, 60, 70, 80 feet tall. They're still there to this day. Beautiful, monstrous sycamore trees.
And when you say you don't see them planted more, it seems like, make sure I've got the right tree in my mind here, but when you said white bark, I mean, those you see really in the very low points of valleys where the washes are.
You're right.
You might have dry river beds that top surface it might be dry, but there's could be water running underground.
That's right. Called a riparian tree. They're along with willows and walnuts and cottonwoods. The sycamores are really common in all of our ravines and washes, wherever there's some at least some seasonal water. But even then, they're unusual. They're much more rare than the willows and the cottonwoods, which are all over the state.
So how do I know if I'm looking at a cottonwood or a willow or
well, this
sycamore?
One you can't miss it. It's a white, very smooth barked tree, and they tend to be very, very large. They're just glorious trees, big broad leaves. A lot like kind of a mulberry type of a leaf, a flat leaf, and you know, 8, sometimes 10 inches in diameter, tip to tip on some of the many lobes, a multi-lobed leaf, and they're just beautiful. Deciduous trees, so they lose their leaves in the winter. Then you have this beautiful, glorious, smooth, white-barked tree. Best thing to do, because they're pretty thirsty trees, is put them in a lawn setting, because they're going to get that they'll love that regular irrigation. Yeah, I can't say that for some of our desert trees, which don't want their feet wet all the time. A sycamore tree is a great one if you have a large lawn setting and you want a fast-growing tree, a beautiful shade tree in the summer, loses its leaves so you get some of that solar energy coming through in the winter. They're just an amazing tree. Really,
you know,
nice.
We're going to have to do for next year, John. When we have our Tree of the Month, we need to have locations ready for the broadcast where people can go see these, because we do get requests sometimes. And I even remember you and Rick were texting me one time, like, where's the Ironwood? We're out here on Carefree Highway trying to find it. You know, where can people go see these? And I'm thinking through my mind, if you're in the Maricopa County area, I'm guessing Seven Springs, if you could picture Seven Springs.
Sure. Oh, that'd be a great place to go. It's not too far out of town.
And then the Hacienda River Preserve between Morristown and Wickenburg.
There you go.
Would be another place if you were down in the Pima County, Tucson area. I would imagine just drive towards the Catalina Mountains and just find a wash coming off one of those mountains. And look for the biggest cluster of gigantic trees, and that's probably your sycamores.
Yeah, there you go. Call around to the local nurseries, because, like I said, they're not as common as other trees that are you'll see in larger numbers at the nurseries. But call around, and if you find a nursery that has a sycamore, go check it out. I think you really love it. You know, it's not one of those trees that you're going to get this beautiful symmetrical a trunk. It tends to be a little bit wonky as it's when it's younger, but man, they are so beautiful and stately when they, you know, and like I said, they're fast growing, so it'll achieve its landscape purpose quickly. Be sure you've got room for it because it can grow to 70 feet tall. So like a eucalyptus, you need to give it a little bit of room. And it grows taller than it grows wide. So if you're looking for a real rounded form of a shade tree, it's not so much like that. It's going to be, you know, growing up probably, you know, twice as high as it's going to be wide.
They just feel like they're a big shade tree out in the wilderness because there's clusters. Yeah. They're not individual tree very often.
And they'll dominate, you know, in those riparian areas. You know, you'll see a lot of the understory trees will end up getting dwarfed and the sun will be blocked and they'll eventually die back or just be very much smaller. These are the kind of the grand dams, the largest trees in those settings, those riparian settings. It'll be the biggest one in the group.
So if you randomly find yourself lost out in the desert and you find one of these, head towards a tall cluster of trees. Now, if you get there and there's no water, don't be discouraged. Just look for where there's sand, you know, those sandy washes, and just start digging. And you'll be surprised. Less than a foot, less than 6 inches a lot of times, you're going to start getting the water seeping out. So just keep digging back. And maybe if you're smart and you're out there, you've got your life straw with you. Stick your life straw down there and get you a drink.
Yeah, you know, the one drawback with some of the sycamores that I see when I'm out and about is that they're so big, there's not even a chance of climbing them because the trunk will be, you know, 10, 12 feet in diameter. The lowest branch is, you know, 40 feet off the ground. We've seen some beauties. I took a video of one of my employees and I and his family went hiking down into actually there at Natural Bridge, Tonto Natural Bridge. When you hike down in through there, if you hike down past the bridge, then you can hike back up one of the other trails. Tons of really beautiful sycamores down in there. But I took a nice video of him. I might post it to the Rosie website.
Perfect.
Maybe this week. And that's one he could climb up in. I said, hey, climb up into that first little crotch up there, and I'll get a video. It was really cool.
You need one of those arborist slingshots to climb. Do you guys use for palm trees where you shoot the monkey's fist over the top?
Yeah, to set
to get it over a branch.
So our arborist, to set a line in some of our taller trees, we have to throw a projectile up in the tree with a rope attached to it, and then we pull that through. Then we pull our rope up and... Yeah, that's our way of ascending some of these larger trees.
So that's the Arizona sycamore, and it's...
Platinus.
Thank you. Platinus?
Righti.
Righti.
Yeah, Righti. Whoever this Wright was, he got to name that tree after himself.
So was it Frank?
Arizona sycamore, not Frank Lloyd, no.
So that is our tree of the month. You can see pictures of that at rosieonthehouse.com in today's archive page. As temperatures start to cool, finally, how nice have these mornings been. Last weekend, went to Prescott, got there, opened the door, and it was under 50. And we looked at each other, like, we couldn't even remember the last time we'd seen 50 degrees. Like, what is this?
I know. I got to the yard this morning at like 4:30 or 5, and it was nice and chilly. And
so what does that mean for our tree to do's or don't do's?
Well, this time of year, you know, we talked about the dog days of summer. This is kind of the, I don't know what you call something, nights of winter, but it's this is a time where things start slowing down a little bit for our trimming. Your evergreen trees, you can prune a little more aggressively, but you want to kind of start backing off on the dosage. We talk about dosage and pruning in our industry, that you don't want to be doing too much at any time of year, but especially in the winter as we're starting to cool things off. And, you know, the trees need, many of them, especially the frost-sensitive trees, need their winter coat, so to speak. So you don't want to be heavily pruning those as we have some frost out ahead of us. So deciduous trees are going to start to be losing their leaves, and those can be pruned during December, January, so it's a good time to target all your deciduous trees.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, because when I saw the lighting back on trimming
the evergreen trees.
The evergreen trees. Okay, that's I misread that.
Yeah,
I'm
the
sorry.
Evergreens are your mesquites, your olives, sumacs, your eucalyptus, and some of those. Those are all vigorous trees, and sometimes if we pruned those back in May and June, about this time of year, they're looking pretty rough and ragged. So we do a lot of shaping, lighter trimming this time of year on a lot of those trees, because they simply can't make it until May or June of next year. And we sometimes do a lot of trimming this time of year just in getting those trees kind of ready for the holiday season. It doesn't take a lot of heavy pruning like we might have done in the spring and summer, but that little maintenance trim is probably appropriate this time of year. So you can do a little bit of shaping and without any risk to the trees, even to the citrus. If you're not doing heavy trimming on citrus, you can do a little nipping and tucking here and there just to maintain their overall shape, reserving the heavier trimming until February, March, when you can cut them back a little more as we head into the spring.
And I know a lot of people fertilize citrus three times a year. You're kind of a fourth time of year guy. You guys use...
Yeah, we have three times as well, you know, early, mid, and late summer trimming. You know, try to sort of target those, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, kind of as three sort of general holidays markers for those best times of year to be fertilizing.
So if you missed your citrus fertilizer, go ahead and hold off, because we don't want to push any new growth out for it to just get frost damage.
Right. And if you are looking at those three numbers on your fertilizer bag, the NPK, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, we would back off on the first number and put on maybe a little higher phosphorus for the winter, because it really prepares the roots for that long winter, and they'll be really healthy and ready to go in the spring. But yeah, you don't want to be pushing a lot of nitrogen this time of year, so we drop the nitrogen out of our fertilizer formulations this time of year, and then we bump it up in the spring again.
All right. Well, hang tight. We can do a lot of things here, but we can't stop the clock. And in fact, we're a little over this time, so we'll be back with John Eisenhower right after this.